Welcome to the Hallelujah House, where we focus on preparing the heart, home, and harvest. In this series of podcasts, we are learning what it means to abide in Christ and how to hear the voice of God. My name is Tammy Carter Adams, and I will be your host. I'm so glad you stopped by. Come on in. Okay, good morning. We're on session 12, Practice and Abiding Hearing His Voice. And this will be on page 31, and we've come to the end now, so let me open us up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together that you brought all these women to the farm with me so that we can do this study. And it's such an important study, learning how to abide, learning how to hear your voice through your word. And Lord, I just pray for anyone that's out there listening to this podcast that you will guide and direct them and speak to their spirit through this. And you put it out there and get it in the hands of those that need it, Lord Jesus. We just trust in you. And thank you for how powerful it's been to us sitting around this table, recording it. Thank you for all of our many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read on this. This is your exercise. So we've come to the end, and what we're going to do is we're going to read Ezekiel 34, 11 through 30. I'm going to have Liz read that. And then we are going to share what we went. We had our abiding time this morning privately, and we're going to share how God took us through his word and cross-referencing and the practice of journaling and what we believe God is speaking to us through this practice.
Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 30. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? Is it not enough for you to drink clear water? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of savage beasts so that they may live in the wilderness and sleep in the forest in safety. I will make them and the places surrounding my hill a blessing. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land of renown for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord.
The more I read that passage, the more I like it. The first time I read it, I was just kind of like, it's kind of an odd passage in the study to, and now, you know, the closer I've gotten in to the Lord, now I can see why he chose this passage for you to do the abiding practice, because there's so many promises in it. Mm. And so when you're reading this, if you feel a quickening in your heart, if you feel like, you know, this is the verse that really stands out to me beyond all the others, that is the verse you journal. And then that is the verse that you're going to cross-reference. And then you're going to read not just that verse, but you're going to read the whole paragraph around it. So you want to read like at least 2 to 3 verses surrounding that verse. And then you are going to have that same, if you feel that same feeling within those sets, in that set of verses, where you feel that quickening again, and that there's one that stands out to you, then you're going to journal that verse and then cross-reference that one. And that's kind of how, that's a way of getting into the Word and just allowing God to lead you through the Bible and to learn how to journal, learn how to hear Him speak to you personally. And that's the quickening of the heart, because normally it's something that is relatable to you, that it's speaking to something in your circumstances personally. Prem, did you want to share first?
I do. First, I just want to let people know that I have done something like this before, and it's confusing, and I think that's okay that it's confusing, because what I realized that is Richard provides you so many different steps that all come together, and you may not realize that the first time you do this abiding study. It may take you 1 or 2, maybe 3 times to really understand it, but it's helped me this time around to combine one of the things is unity with this exercise. And again, I'll you know, tell you what I wrote down, and then let you know how the ladies helped me through it. But the verse that stuck out through me was Ezekiel 34:30. In this way, they will know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. And they will know that they, the people of Israel, are my people, says the sovereign Lord. And to me, I had just said that this meant that I'm his child and he will never leave me.
Well, I think too, we were talking about this earlier, because you're with Hinduism, and you were raised in a Hindu family, and I think sometimes that, because it's you've explained that is such a culture to you, it's more culture than religion. So it's almost like God is saying, you know, I'm pulling you. I am your God. You know, He's making it clear that you are His daughter. I am going to be your God, mm-hmm. And He's pulling you out of that religion. And He's claiming you. And it's not religion. It's God's claiming you as His daughter. You know, He's staking His claim on your life.
And this is what I meant by unity, is that I may have not, you know, understood that. And I feel like I am understanding the verses more and more as I go along. But talking amongst other people and having more than one person discussing that verse helps.
Yeah,
especially as a new believer, because it's sometimes, you know, I read the whole thing and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's okay, but, and it may not, like, you may not feel that flutter and think that it's that verse, but I think it helps to, you know, just even just picking a verse mm-hmm. and then going from mm-hmm. there. And then,
that's right.
Again, cross-referencing is, it's not confusing, but there's so many things to pick from. Mm-hmm. So, and you don't know which one that you should pick from. So the cross-reference verse that I found next was Ezekiel 14:11, and it says, "In this way the people of Israel will learn not to stray from me, polluting themselves with sin. They will be my people, and I will be their God, and I, the Lord, have spoken." Mm-hmm. And I actually just wrote that I don't know what that meant. I said that maybe it's my past beliefs, and they aren't held against me, and that I believe that I have found Jesus, and then I'm learning the truth.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, it's good. And like you said, I want to just clarify, when she's saying finding it in unity, finding truth in unity, if you are married and it's really, really good to go through abiding together. So if you're doing this study, do it with your husband. I encourage you, because then when you're getting to this exercise, you both can, you know, kind of bounce off of each other and say, what do you think this verse means? Why is this verse stood out to me? And you can discuss it and pray about it together, and then God will help you come to that revelation mm-hmm. together. And that's why, you know, Prim is, and if you're not married, go to someone that you know is knowledgeable in the Word and is already abiding Christian, and join with that person. And you can bounce, you know, your verses off of each other and come to a unity decision that way. So,
well, to that, I don't know if people might be intimidated or not have anyone that mm-hmm. has that knowledge. And I would just suggest talking to somebody else that is interested in it. And both of you can do this together mm-hmm. and see what you learn from it, and, you know, invite in more prayer. And more people in prayer. Yeah.
Yeah. And just ask God for revelation, because God will tell you. Yeah. Yeah. And make it clear.
It's a good way to get Bible study started. Like you just said, ask another person who would be willing to mm-hmm. do it with you. Get a group of ladies to gather around with a cup of coffee, and y'all do right. it together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk it through together. Pray through it together.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing was that the third cross-reference that I did, I wrote down, and we had discussed it, and it just kind of didn't mean no sense. But what I didn't do was read further along. I only read, I think, like two or three verses after. So it's sometimes you may not get it, you know, a couple of verses ahead or behind, but maybe you just need to read the whole.
Just keep reading.
Just keep reading until something
stands out.
And the next verse that stood out to me was Jeremiah 31:22. "How long will you wander, my wayward daughter? For the Lord will cause something new to happen. Israel will embrace her God."
Mm. That to me speaks volumes to you, I think. I think it's just, so what do you think that meant?
For me, I think it just, personally, I think it's that I shouldn't, or when I do wander, that I'm still his daughter, and that there are things that are still going to happen for me, that will continue happening for me, and that as long as I embrace God, he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be a easy path or a straight path, but that as long as I stick on the path, and it's okay to fall off the path, but he'll still be there for mm-hmm. me.
Mm-hmm. And I also see in that the new thing, I think it's going to increase your faith. I think that's what he's, you know, that through that, he's going to increase your faith. So, okay. Good, friend. Thank you. Tracy, you want to?
I can. So I think I should probably start with a little bit of context, since when I did my journaling this morning, I didn't really think there was anything significant. I was really underwhelmed by my quiet time this morning, to be honest. And so I want to give some context about what's been going on the last couple of days while I've been here with these lovely ladies and chatting. We had social time last night, and things, you know, we were talking about children, and I have a younger son who's away at college who I have started to feel a little unsettled about his situation.
Mm-hmm.
And worried. Not that there is any evidence that anything's going on, just something in my spirit that's made me worry about Harry, especially this weekend. And so last night we had talked about, you know, several disastrous situations, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. that we'd seen out in the world, and it made me really worry about Harry. And so last night I went to bed and slept zero.
Yeah.
Every hour woke up, and so I was very unsettled about Harry. And so I got up this morning, and knowing that we had to prepare for this, I started my journaling. So I'm going to start with the Bible verse that stuck out to me. And I don't for sure know why this Bible verse stuck out to me, but it was the one that did. And so that was Ezekiel 34:8. Because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and become food for all wild animals. And it just stuck out to me, and I just started to journal that. And there are lots of very similar Bible verses about that. But mm-hmm. when I went deeper and sort of past that, I came across Jeremiah 12:9, and it says, "Has my inheritance become to me like a speckled bird of prey that others surround and attack?"
Mm-hmm.
And so that instantly made me think of Harry's situation, where he is right now in college and the things that are around him. And it's making me, I don't know, just very unsettled about where mm-hmm. he is right now and if it's the right place for him. And so then I went on to Isaiah 5, and it says, "To those who call evil good and good, woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And it made me think of, I guess, his environment in college right now and the mm-hmm. things that are going on around him. And he is somebody that accepted Christ, but he's out in the world, and none of his friends are Christians. And mm-hmm. There's alcohol, there's partying, I'm sure there's drugs.
Right.
And so I don't know, it's just a feeling that I have in my spirit that I need to pray for Harry and that I need to talk to Harry.
Yeah.
And so then I went on, and my next Bible verse, after I dug into Isaiah and I was cross-referencing on my app, I got Psalm 94:22, "But the Lord has become my fortress, and my God the rock in whom I take refuge." And I want Liz to tell you what she told me when I read that.
Yeah, well, I just had listened to your first couple of verses, and you were, you know, you were concerned, fearful for what was going on, like your son is being devoured by these wild animals, you know, like the wildness of life, the enemy, the darkness is trying to, your son is like prey to them right now. And then God showed you, "But Mom, I've got something for you. You're going to find your rest and your refuge in me, because I am the rock. When you are filled with anxiety and you're having a sleepless night, that I am your fortress. I'm your strong tower. I am the rock, and I will not be moved. You can rest in me." So he was just trying to comfort you there, because you've been filled with a lot of concern.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't control this situation, but God can, and he's in charge, and you can trust him.
And so when I woke up this morning, Tammy was the first person that was up, and I explained to her that I had not slept a wink. I'm sure she could tell just by looking at me.
Mm.
and so she had said, having a son that also had been, you know, away in college in the same place, you know, you need, you know, that perhaps the right thing to do is to bring him home, mm-hmm. you know, to bring him away from that. And so that brought me to my next verse, which was Exodus 33:1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, and you and the people you brought up out of Israel.'" And so that really convicted me to sort of sit there with Harry and figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is this the right thing for him?
Yeah. And I think when we're unsure, and this is a very important point, and this goes for you too, Prim, if you're unsure really of what God is saying to you, remember he said, camp out in it. We need to camp out in it for a while. you know, these scriptures. And it might be cross-reference even more. And pray and ask God to guide you further in His Word and speaking on these particular verses. And so when you leave, I would cross-reference that verse, you know, and pray about your decision on that. And then when you have your talk with your son, pray for clarity.
And it did end in hope. I have to say that my last two Bible verses, I went into Exodus 33:2, and it said, I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites.
And the mosquito bites.
Yes, exactly. Which, you know, at times here exactly. we could have done with that. And then Exodus 33:3 was, little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession. And so it does make me feel hope that God's speaking into this situation.
Yeah.
Even though I woke up this morning and I read these verses and I just thought, you know what, there's just nothing here. What is this?
And it's always that way the first time when you do it, because you, like I said, sometimes we have a tendency to like look at it for face value. And instead of saying, well, what does this say to my life? And that's exactly how you have to look at these scriptures. What is it saying to me and what's going on right now in my life? And so that's how you have to look at it and not try to put theology, doctrine, or any of that into it. This is about the, what was the word for, is it Rama word?
Rhema.
Rhema word. The Rhema word, which is the personal word that God has for you in all these verses.
Yeah, I would suggest that you do this and then, like you said, camp out in it. Like, don't just do it for, you know, that session and then just leave
and,
it alone.
Yeah, and move on to another verse, passage, or whatever. Just stay in these particular verses until it's affirmed.
Yeah.
So you know exactly what he's saying. Mm-hmm. All right, Liz. Miss Powerhouse, come on, girl, bring it.
I got some power for you today.
Okay, so a verse that stood out to me in Ezekiel chapter 34 that Richard had us in was verse 27. And this, it's the second part of 27, so we would call it 27b. Okay. I will break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslave them. And that really did literally like jump off the page at me, because I have been under bars of the enemy's yoke. And it's important to explain what a yoke is. It's like when they were in Egypt, they were the slaves of the Egyptians. And at times they literally had wooden bars placed on their shoulders, around their necks, attached to ropes that were dragging humongous boulders as they were building things for the Egyptians. They were slaving away, making things and building things. And it was very laborious, and they were under that oppression, and they would be beat with whips if they would be lagging behind and just tired. And God says in this verse that I'm going to break those yokes. You're going to be set free from it. I'm going to rescue you from the hands of those who enslaved them. I have been underneath the yoke of the enemy willingly. It's not even that somebody came and captured me. I willingly walked into enemy territory and allowed the enemy to enslave me. And I didn't realize that I was believing a lie, and I got it enslaved by the enemy for quite a while. Well, that verse led me to cross-reference it with Leviticus 26:13. Now, if you don't like the book Leviticus, you need to get into it, because it's got some good stuff in there. I know it's a book of a lot of rules and regulations, but there's some good stuff. So Leviticus 26:13 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. And what's so powerful about that verse is that when you're under oppression, your head is hanging low. Mm-hmm. When you're under the bondage and the stronghold of sin, you are weighed down. And God says, I will enable you. When I rescue you from that and I break that yoke off you, I'm going to enable you to walk with your head held high. And you know what? The enemy wants to keep us in shame. And God told me when he rescued me, he said, I'm not going to let you walk around in shame. You're going to hold up your head and you're going to walk with grace. Mm-hmm. And you're going to walk in my mercy. You will not hold your head low. I'm gonna enable you to hold it high.
No condemnation in Christ. We already talked about that. Yeah.
Exactly. Praise the Lord. Okay, so then that led me to the last verse, and this is really good too. Love it. Zephaniah 3:20. At that time I will gather you. I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes. And that, again, is just, it's, I don't know why the Lord wanted me to, he just loves us to rehearse his goodness, I think. These verses stood out to me because he has done this in my life. He has gathered me. He brought me back home. I was a prodigal. He brought me back home. And he is going to restore to everything that the enemy has stolen. And when I say that, I mean broken relationships. I mean a marriage that was so close to divorce. God says, I'm going to give you honor and praise. And it's not, oh, let's look at Liz. Look what she... No, it's not my praise. It's his praise. He's put a song of praise in my mouth to glorify God for what he did in my life. I did not do it. All I was under was his rescue. He rescued me. And man, it's just... It's good. Good
it's
stuff.
It's powerful. It's very powerful. Okay, on mine, God has been speaking to me a lot, and I'd shared this with the girls. I actually announced to my women's Bible study last week that I was going to, after this, we finished completed the study we're on, that I was going to discontinue leading Bible study because God has really been talking to me about letting some things go in my life because I have felt tremendous stress lately, and my little girl Bella has come into my office after school, and I'm in there still working on stuff because I'm leading two Bible studies right now and writing for the Hallelujah House and was planning this podcast and did all these things that were great. They were good things for the Lord, but she came in and she said, Mom, you know, I wish I had a little sister. And I was like, oh, that's great, Bella. And I was just typing and I went, wait, why? And she said, because that way I'd have somebody to play with me. And that really, God was just using that child to speak to me. And at the time, he was leading me through verses like, my yoke is light. You know, remember, my yoke is light. I don't expect you to do all this work, you know, for me. I'm not asking you to pile this on yourself. And so the verse that I came to, and also he's been given me a yearning in my heart to paint again. And I was telling the girls that when I'm painting, it is like I'm Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. He speaks to me at that canvas. And it's like a communication back and forth between us, believe it or not, and creating something. And so I think that God, and I kept saying to myself, no, I can't paint because I haven't gotten enough work done yet. I was looking at it like it was a reward. And God has been talking to me about that. He says, I gave you the talent to paint and the talent to write. And one is not any more of a ministry or for me than another. And that, you know, that if you need to find joy in your work again, and at the paint, when you're painting, there's joy there. So he wants me to, you know, start stepping into joy in ministry. And so the verses that really stuck out to me was verse 15. It says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. And then that led me to Psalms 23:2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. And notice the word still. Still. I don't know how to be still. You know, and it's such a peaceful, you know, a peaceful feeling in that verse. And I feel like sometimes I'm just so filled with, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. And I'm missing out in my daughter's life. I'm missing out on things that are important. And God is telling me, no, you're going to be still. You're going to be with her. And so the next verse, I at first was like, what in the world? Does this don't really speak to me. But it was John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so I was, I prayed about this verse and I realized that if anyone enters by me, by Christ, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And he's telling me, go out, enjoy, go discover the pasture, run free. And that there's freedom in that. And that God is saying, you know what? Stop holding off trying to reward yourself. This is ridiculous. You need to go and give yourself permission to enjoy your daughter, enjoy your painting and the things that I'm giving you a yearning in your heart to do, and put away some work because you need to take some things off your plate. And that's so important for us as believers. We need to learn to be still and know God and not continually be working for him. So the point is, the most important thing is relationship, not work. So do we have anything else we want to add to this? I think we've come to the end of the study. And I hope that you find a joy in journaling. And, you know, that is our prayer. And that we put this out and that this really speaks to someone. And if you haven't received Christ, that you will... that you will accept him as your personal savior. That is the first step of all this. You're not going to be able to hear him speaking to your life without accepting his gift of grace, you know. So Liz, would you like to close us in prayer?
Sure.
Okay.
Daddy, this has been a really good time together. I'm thinking just about even us five ladies being able to do this weekend together, and how, like Prim said earlier, Lord, how it's just it's a team, it's a unity, how we encourage one another. We can talk through our stories with you and our life experiences with you and the testimonies you're working out in our life. And it really is, it's powerful. It's powerful to hear other stories and to see what you're doing and how you are working. And I thank you, God, that the ladies that are at home right now doing this study with us, Lord, that you are showing them that you are the good shepherd and that you will guide them, you will lead them, you will provide for them, you'll chase after them, you'll pursue them, you'll rescue them. God, you'll restore them. You'll bring them back to a place of rest. And we are all in need of that, God, especially today in this year of 2020. It's not a more timely message to learn to abide in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the vine and we are the branches. And that God, the Father, you, God, you're the one that prepares us and prunes us. You know the end from the beginning. You know what's best for us, Lord. We are learning to trust you. And I thank you so much, God, for your word. It is life. It is the words of eternal life. It is living and active, and it transforms us and changes us. So, Lord, be with us, guide us, continue to speak to us. Lord, give us a love for you. Help us to elevate you to the position of God in our life at all times. There's no one like you. Great is your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.